Monday afternoon. Good afternoon. I hope you're having a good Monday morning, or have had a good Monday so far. I'm walking out of the hotel in Cork. Walking out of a place called the Maryborough Woods Hotel. It's a 4-star hotel. And I came in here this morning at about 9 o'clock. And I've been working since. I have been, you wonder what kind of work have you been doing? I've been, wrote a blog post, did an amount of communications around the world via Twitter and Google Plus community, a community there. So I've been kind of reaching out to other people and, just touching base, really, I suppose you'd call it. Nothing terribly dramatic about it, except that the whole process of keeping in touch with people who you don't see face to face requires quite a bit of attention. Somebody I was talking to this morning said that they had a method of keeping in touch with people, and their method involved having about 7 or 8 different events, life, important events, like person changes job, like person's birthday, like somebody dies in their family, like child has an illness or something like that. And whenever they see and find out that something significant in a person's life happens, they send them an email, basically. And they genuinely use the occasion in the other person's life to prompt them into making contact. I'm getting into my car, leaving one hotel, and I'm heading for a place called Nash 19, which has the best food for lunch in Cork. I think I'm going to go as far as to say that. I like it that much. I got to back out of here gingerly and then get the car going. Yeah, this kind of systematic approach to keeping in touch with people via email isn't mine. I had a little impulse this morning. I thought of a woman called Rose in Limerick, and I suddenly thought of her and her business. So I sent her an email saying something like, "Hello, good morning, hi. You popped into my head, thought about you and your prospects, and I'm sitting here in the hotel in Cork while the weather is pretty lousy outside. All the best, Paul." So just keeping in touch. I'm all over the place when it comes to keeping in touch. I really don't do it systematically. There are people who use customer relationship management software, CRM software. And I'm sure there are some people on Audioboo who do that for their business. But change agent branding is, I was going to say, too small. It kind of is too small for it. But if we did have a couple of interns, I might actually get them to do some work on constructing a sort of database of valuable information about people. I think it'd be fairly handy to have, for example, out of our 500 closest contacts, all of their LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus information, all in the same place. And maybe some other information about them. Yeah, including all of the information about them that had been featured in the public domain, and to have that all in one place about 500 people would be a tremendous asset for a business. Now let's talk about Dunbar's number. Let's talk about keeping in touch with people. I've got over 4,000. I don't know, is it 4,000 followers or 5,000 followers? An awful lot of followers on Twitter, and I follow an awful lot of people. I think it's 5 against 4. 5,000 followers and 4,000 people that I follow. Some, that kind of ratio anyway. And, you know, you could, it's way, way too many. I can't handle that number of contacts. And I don't even try, you know. In case you're curious, I use a thing called Twitter Lists, and it means that, you know, I do things like I concentrate on all the people that I know in Northampton at one point in time. You know, I can see my Twitter list for all the people in Northampton, and I can then send a few messages to the people in Northampton that I most want to be in touch with, or I can tune in to what's happening in Northampton via what they're doing. But that's quite impossible. But Dunbar's number is a number invented by a man called Dunbar, which, after research, says that about 150 people is the maximum number of people that any one of us can keep in our close network, in our contacts. So try it for yourself, really. I'm going to try it for myself. And in fact, I might even start doing it this afternoon. But the interesting thing about it, try to list all the 500, all the people in your life with whom you keep in contact online and offline regularly, frequently. So, for example, it does not include all my brothers and sisters. It does not include, you know, all of the members of my close family. It includes some of them. And this isn't to say anything negative about the others. I mean, I'm not living in a family in which is riven by conflict or negativity towards each other or people not keeping in touch at all. But there's a kind of a acceptance that I mightn't have had any contact with my sister in America for, you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks at a time, you know. And I'm not saying that I'm proud of that or anything like that, but it just happened. So she wouldn't make the cut. I mean, my sister, who I'm mad about, who I couldn't speak too highly about, and I've actually recorded audiobooks with her, but she wouldn't make my Dunbar's number. And people who I've never met in my life would. I mean, isn't that interesting? So Dunbar's number is you can look it up on Wikipedia, whatever you like, and find it. But it's, and it doesn't, it's around 150 is the number. So, you know, if you have, you know, 500 plus contacts on LinkedIn, you can be sure that you're not in contact with them all. And in fact, if you decide that, well, look, in the offline world, if you like, and I know I did say I wouldn't use the distinction between online and offline, but let's just use it for purposes of this. How many people do we keep in touch with? Do we phone up, even, on the telephone and go and see? I mean, how many different people have I had a cup of coffee with, chatted with, face-to-face in the last week? I don't know. I haven't written them down. I think they're quite interesting. How many people have I had phone calls with in the last week? So this is the kind of typical... How many people have I written a letter to? How many people have written me a handwritten letter in the last week? Okay, now I bet you're listening to that and you're saying, well, nobody's written me a handwritten letter in the last week. Well, nobody did actually write me a handwritten letter in the last week. But Dunbar's number is going to be very interesting, I feel, because this is keeping in touch with people who are the most important people. And according to Dunbar's number thinking, and I've done a little bit of digging into research about this, is you can't add an extra person to your Dunbar's number. You can't actually, if you take on 151st person, you have to drop, you know, somebody will drop off the list. And this is maybe not even about conscious, because when, about consciously identifying who your Dunbar numbers people are, we probably don't know. I mean, I don't know, and that doesn't mean that you don't know, but do you have a list? I drew up a list when we were launching Change Agent Branding of the top 100 people in my whole life who I really most wanted to know that we were going to launch a company. And I suppose that'll be the easiest place for me to start and look at that list and say, how many of these people have I been in touch with recently? And, you know, being in touch once recently is not enough. I mean, I'm in contact with hundreds of people via social media in a single day. I mean, to be honest, I probably do exceed 100 people, individual people. But they're not, the vast majority of those are not in my Dunbar's number. People here on Audioboo who are in my Dunbar's number who have used Audioboo are definitely Roger Overall, Jane Boyd, Boy Jane in Canada. Who else on Audioboo would make my Dunbar's number? I mean, this is not about whether I like them or whether I mean, you know, I'm lots of you. I like and I listen to your Audioboos, but I'm not in touch with you. You're not in touch with me. We kind of admire each other, maybe. How many people on Audible would get into my Dunbar's number? Oh dear, this is going to get quite a hairy, really. I'm going to go through my Twitter lists and see who gets in there. I mean, I suppose if I haven't sent you a tweet in the last... Okay, let's try and get somebody into my Dunbar's number. If I haven't sent you a tweet in the last month, you're definitely not in my Dunbar's number. If I'm in touch with you, well, if I'm on Facebook, if I haven't left you a message, responded to one you sent me, because actually the Dunbar's number has got to concern people who make connections with each other, so have conversations, not just, oh, there's this person, very, very important person like Mitch Joel in who I'd, you know, love to meet over in Toronto. He's a very big wig in marketing and he's a man I admire very, very much. But I could be sending him tweets every day of the week and he wouldn't make my Dunbar's number because he hasn't got back to me or he isn't getting back to me. Take someone like Chris Brogan, I'm in touch with him on Twitter and he's definitely in my Dunbar's number because I have, I don't know how many contacts I have with him during a week. Tweeting him, reading his tweets, getting his newsletter, getting a response to the fact that I told him, you know, what I had for tea this morning. Now, what am I doing, Paul? What am I doing? I'm going into town. I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing. I got a problem. I got a problem here. This is going to be, yeah, this is a good old ramble, this boo, but it's a Monday, kind of getting the week off to a good start. So we go into rambly mode now, as opposed to, I had a little bit of a focus a second ago. So, you know, the rest of it could go anywhere. So that's a warning in the style of, you know, Daylight Gambler. You know, listen on at your peril. But anyway, to go to the chase is, I'm driving a car. I have to go to the Irish passport office, or to be more exact, I have to go to a blooming post office. Why? Because the Irish passport system, government system, online, won't let you print off the form you need to renew your passport license. And my wife told me this morning. I could not actually believe it. I thought, in this day and age of e-government and all that, in Ireland, what's happened that I can't print off the form to renew the passport? I mean, those of you who are listening to me in Ireland won't believe that this is the case, so you're running off now to check, you know, or else you knew it already and never told anybody, because I just think it's bonkers, completely bonkers. And I think it's actually the result of a conspiracy behind the scenes between the Irish Post Office and a government department to protect the custom, and to particularly in rural post offices probably, to make sure that people actually go into the post office rather than, you know, print off the form online and send it off. I mean, I'm forced to go now into a post office. I could go to the passport office, that's a different matter. But there are only about 3 passport offices in Ireland. But I'm actually forced to go to a post office. And that's good for the post office. Not bad for me as a consumer, because I have to go and do a journey which is, you know, I would say inefficient to walk to a post office and collect a form. You know, it'd be different if I could go to the post office and complete the form by, you know, in 2 or 3 minutes, but I'm absolutely certain I'm going to have to take the form back home with me. So is there a conspiracy? Here's a question for consideration. Is there a conspiracy to keep Irish post offices and sub-post offices, you know, economically viable by withholding the power to print off the service, to print off the old passport thing? Now, why am I thinking about passport? I'm thinking about passport because two people in my house, my wife and my daughter, their passport's running out. I've got a passport that lasts me a bit longer, so I'm fine, you know. Isn't it funny how I haven't lost my passport? This is a terrible thing to say, but I'm going to blurt it out. I haven't lost my passport, ever. And yet it's a little document. And I lose things I do lose things, but I haven't lost the passport. Okay, guys, it's getting a bit sunnier here in Cork now. Getting a little bit sunnier, right? I'm driving along a canal. Well, it's not a canal, it's a river, but if you looked at it and you didn't know the geography of Cork, you'd think I was driving along a canal. It's slimmer. Well, that's until you looked in and you saw there was a river, I suppose. But it's a slimmer channel. No, it's not. It's a fatter channel than the Grand Canal in Dublin. One of the great, great places in Dublin city is the Grand Canal. I mean, I used to walk along the shores of the Grand Canal as it went through Dublin. And it's a walk that stirs the memory. And so rambling through the city on this, in front of me is a huge church, which see sheepishly I've never been into. Oh, bloody crazy. This is St. Finbar's, F-I-N-N, says he gingerly, B-A-R-R-S, Finbar's Church. And the bishop, that is Church of Ireland Church. In other words, it's not a Roman Catholic church. But the Church of Ireland, Bishop of Cork, is on Twitter. Universally liked. Well, I would say almost universally liked. Nobody's universally liked. But his name is Paul Cotton. So that's his church in some form or other. If that's the right way. Although I regard all churches as belonging to the people. They were paid for by funding raised from the people. And they don't belong to any organization. That's my stance on churches. They belong to the people. And the grandchildren of the people. Now there's St. Finbar's parking spot, but I'm going to let you in the secret. There's a particular hotel in Cork that if you go there and you get yourself a cup of tea or a bit of lunch or whatever, will give you free parking. And you can actually park for the whole day there because they're so damn nice that if you just go in there and hang out there and meet people there, you know, for half an hour, you can actually park your car all day. How's that? So when you come to Cork, I'll tell you how you can get, you know, virtually free parking. Michael, I just looked. I had this machine in my pocket while I was recording, and I'm down now to nearly 19 minutes of recording. So, and as, you know, in front of me there is a house of Natuzzi's extensive leather gallery, which I just threw in for fun. And Cafe Paradiso. Now, there is one of the greatest vegetarian restaurants in Western Europe. There, I've said it. Cafe Paradiso, Cork. If you want to get great vegetarian food, you better... I'm blowing my horn, which I never do. Somebody has stopped in the lane. And because nobody is kind enough to let them out into the lane, I've given them a boot up the backside. And they've moved on, and they got in further down the queue than they thought they were going to be. So here we are, the River Lee Hotel in Cork. I have to say it's a very fine hotel. Okay, thank you so much for coming on this Monday journey. Have a great, great week. Paul O'Mahony. Bye-bye.